Hi, my name is Emilie Le Viennese-Farouche, and I'm the composer for the film All of a Stranger.
So what was the first instrument that you started learning music on?
I did the boring classic thing of learning the piano as a child.
Is that your favorite instrument now, or is that just...
It is still the instrument that I'm the most fluent with. And, you know, like when you write music for film, a lot of the time you just write in front of a screen with a big keyboard. So yeah, being a pianist is very practical because I don't really have to think that much. I can just play in. And yeah, there's a fluency that comes with it that makes composing much more comfortable.
And when did you start playing piano?
I mean, there's the moment when my grandmother gave me the first few lessons when I was pretty young. I probably was like 7. And then, yeah, I just carried on taking piano lessons, but I was not a child prodigy or anything of that sort.
So was film also like a long-time love of yours too, or did that come later?
That came more when I was a teenager, I think, from 12 onwards. One of my mother's friends introduced me in one summer. He lent me the Lord of the Rings books and a copy of Blade Runner. The film. So yeah.
And those are great scores to start with too.
Yeah, for sure. And then because I was reading the book, I was going to see the films when The Lord of the Rings came out. I did like the midnight screenings and stuff. And it as I grew older, I started getting more into indie films and slightly more experimental. I remember watching that one of the Lars von Trier's film was on TV quite late, Breaking the Waves, and being utterly destroyed by it. And just being, yeah, I think that was like the film that made me realize how powerful cinema could be and how strange, but still like impactful.
I have a similar story of how I fell in love with movies. I stumbled upon Celine Sciamma's Water Lilies.
Oh, what a score as well.
Yeah, that's cool. Stunning score. So how you also do your own personal music. So how do you, like, what's the difference between, I guess, mentally scoring for a film and writing your own music for your personal albums?
I think what I carry through is, and I think it's how I also pick my projects, is my personal music often comes from strong emotions, internal emotions that I need an outlet, like a way to process. And so generally I will do films that I have a connection to at least one of the character that's quite strong and I can understand their emotions quite well, or at least I want to dive into their inner world. And it's almost like when I start to be able to feel what they feel, then I can write from that point of view, that reaction. Obviously, there's a lot of more intellectual and more strategic elements that come into play, but I think the source of both my music and my scores is that emotional reaction to either something that's happening to me or something that's happening in the film.
Yeah, something that I noticed, I unfortunately didn't get a screener in time, so I haven't gotten to see all
so
the things yet. But I love Censor. Censor, that score blew me away.
Thank you.
But that one is kind of like, it doesn't kind of go with the question that I'm about to ask. I just wanted to let you know that I'm a big fan of it. But this idea of memory and remembrance are themes that you definitely explore in your personal music. And I guess, is that, first of all, what drew you to All of Us Strangers? And then also, did that kind of background lay a groundwork for where you wanted to go with the score?
It's interesting because it's not necessarily the part that really attracted me to the film, because I saw a cut of the film before signing on, but it's definitely something we extensively discussed with the director, the nature of memory. And that's also why we didn't really want to have long, properly, thoroughly formed melodies in the score, because it felt like when you have memories, you never remember things in full. You know, it's never like a huge whole day that you remember. It's a fragment of a day. It's one specific sound or smell or thing that really sticks with you. And yeah, the nature of memory is definitely something that I find fascinating, because it's a different thing from truth. Like, it's just, there's so many complexity related to it. And I was, yeah, it was really exciting when, you know, we started talking with Andrew Haig, because it was also something that he had been exploring. And I know that the cinematography also addresses that. And it's really at the core of the film, that and, you know, love and grief and all these other things.
I saw a review of the score of this movie, and somebody called it both eerie and alluring at the same time. And so that also kind of speaks to like the fantastical nature of the plot itself. So how did you find that balance between the fantasy sort of otherworldly aspect of the movie and then like the deep grounded human emotions of it?
I think the emotion is because I had quite a strong connection, although maybe not. There was part of me who could see myself in Adam, but also there was part of me who could see myself how it would be once he resolved those issues. And there was an element of me that felt really caring for him. Mm-hmm. And so the truthfulness of emotion was kind of a given in a sense. And then because I came from this place of compassion, I also wanted the audience to have this sense of compassion. So rather than making it just really going for the weird or something too hectic, I wanted it to be quite dreamlike and floaty. And the film is asking the audience to go along with a story that's, you know, quite odd at time. So the only way it would work is for people to just take it as a dream, to go with the dream logic of the film. So yeah, it ends up, the two things that it needed is bringing you into that world with feeling supported, feeling warm, but also relaxing into it so that you can open yourself to the emotions.
And I read that you use different music effects and digital techniques. What exactly does that mean?
So I did want to keep some instrument, especially the piano, but the cello, the violin, because I just think it's more human if some of the instruments are clearly played by the physicality of a human being, it's better. But then how do you do that and then have a score that just doesn't sound okay? Well, I've heard that before, I've heard this sound before. So what I was doing was putting those live instruments into chains of effects. Some of them are going to be reverb, some of them are going to be granular synthesis, which was actually heavily used, so that they would just start being a bit strange, like a bit more difficult to place, difficult to recognize. But then what you have to avoid is making it really technological. Like, it shouldn't be glitchy, because you don't want it to make it sound that maybe it's a new technology that is using or anything like that. So yeah, it was just trying things until there's a sound that feels, oh, this is strange enough, but it's not threatening. Although at time it can become a bit more threatening because Adam is feeling threatened. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it shouldn't feel technological or just weird for the sake of it.
And then he sees his parents from 30 years ago. Did you also look at music from 30 years ago to kind of intertwine that into your score?
No, it's an interesting one, because there's some songs that, I mean, in the film, there's moments where even the lyrics of the songs are super, I mean, actually, if you, every lyric that comes into the film of a song is a direct commentary of what's happening in the scene. Like, everything is script. Like, I think 90% of the song were written in the script. So that kind of influenced the idea that the soundscape shouldn't be too jarring or too competing with the songs, which then makes sense to have quite a lot of synthesizers as well, because they're like 80s songs and things like that. But I didn't want to make a score that was nostalgic, if that makes sense. Like, I didn't want it to be saying, oh, we're in the past now. It should always be with Adam, who is in our time, in the present.
You find sort of more minimalist or more atmospheric scores to be freeing in terms of composing, or do you prefer kind of like the larger scale like sensor kind of feels more built out, if that makes sense.
Which is funny because there's less musician that did everything on sensor. So it's really intimate in a sense. But I'm always, as much as possible, I always try to think what is best for what makes the most sense for the film. So, you know, I've done films with much larger orchestral ensembles because it was right for the project. So it really depends. I don't believe in just thinking I do this type of score and whatever the project is, I'm just going to do what I do, because I don't think that's a good example of collaboration.
That kind of leads me into my last question. You've done some horror movies, you've done some beautiful emotional dramas, but is there a style of movie or a type of score that you're just like desperate to have the chance to create?
I don't know if I'm desperate to create it, but I feel like I have such a love for space opera that at one point I hope I'll get to do one. It's just another one of those genre where there's space for experimentation. And I think I'm quite eager. The selfish part of me do like taking projects where I know, oh, I could stretch myself in a different area, like a type of score I've not done before, or exploring how you can portray real emotion in this style. And I think that's why I really was so happy to be doing Sansa, and why I think horror scores can be so rewarding for composers, because you can just go really strange and everyone is excited about it. And I think a space opera is great in the sense that you can go really strange, but you can also go a bit bombastic as well, like big melodies, big orchestras mixed with synths, because you're in the vastness of space, so you can afford to go a bit too big, which, yeah, would be exciting to do.